Yeah, cause he's intentional. Never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, he's intentional. Never failing.
All things are working for my good.
Cause he's intentional.
He's intentional.
Hey, and he's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working for my good.
For my good.
He's intentional.
He's intentional.
Praise God and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of enlightenment, encouragement, and empowerment. So I thank you all for joining me on today. I am Prophetess Amina Campbell, and happy Saturday to you. Looks like it's a beautiful day in most places. And good morning to those of you who are out on the West Coast. I know that it's not yet afternoon for you, but this is a day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. So, our topic for today is what to do during a storm. And I know that that seems a little bit boring and it may not, you know, be all that exciting, but it is something that affects everybody at one time or another in your life. We all go through storms. We all have to deal with things. And so just because for you right now, the sun might be shining, it does not mean that it's not raining or storming for someone else. And, you know, whether your storm is a hail storm, a sleet storm, or it's just simple thunder showers. Some people may be feeling like they're going through some tornadic weather right now. Whatever your situation is, you know, just know that you're not alone. And just know that it's something we've all had to deal with. If I were to take a subtopic, it would be lessons from childhood, you know, because there were some things that I learned naturally to do and not to do in childhood from my grandparents during the time of a storm. So we're going to talk about some of those things. Again, thank you so much for joining. If you want to call in to chat today, that number is 888-627-6008. And we do want to hear from you. I know that I have several listeners that say, you know, I enjoy the show. I just like to listen and I take notes and things of that nature. And I understand that, you know, but for those of you who have a testimony that you want to give, you want to share some of your stormy experiences and how God brought you out and how God delivered you, we do want to hear those things because it encourages our hearts to know that somebody else made it. So again, that number is 888-627-6008. And we're talking again today about what to do during a storm. I'm going to give you seven pointers or seven frequently asked questions as it pertains to that. So for those of you who do take notes, go ahead and get your pen and pad ready. For those of you who have your Bibles out, go ahead and turn with me to Psalm number 107. Again, that's Psalm number 107. Remember, the book of Psalms does not have chapters. It is a book of songs. So we're going to the book of Psalms, number 107. Now, as you are turning there, we're going to go ahead and go into prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, Lord, for our many blessings. We thank you now, God, for how you've watched over us, Lord, and how you've kept us. We thank you, God, for your word, which is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. We thank you, God, for your word, which is our instruction manual. We thank you, God, for your word, which encourages our heart. We thank you, God, for salvation. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to get it right before you. We thank you, God, for those that are just an encouragement to us when we are going through our storms. And we pray now, God, that your word comes forth with clarity and understanding for all of your listeners on today, O Lord. Let them be encouraged, God. Lift up bowed down heads. God, encourage those who may be depressed and oppressed and may have regressed or transgressed on this week, God. You just move by your spirit and have your way. God, speak to me and through me in the name of Jesus. We glorify you now and give your name all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, if you are with me, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Psalm number 107. And we're going to begin at the 28th verse. I kind of have cotton mouth on today. My allergy meds kind of dehydrate me a little bit. So if you hear me trying to catch my breath and get it together on today, that's the reason. Although it's pretty outside, sometimes my body does not necessarily align itself with the word of God. So, you know, I may have to regroup from time to time. But, you know, thank God for you. Thank God for the opportunity just to speak before God's people and to be able to share with you on today, because the enemy will do anything that he can to hinder this word, you know, whether it's using people or using circumstances, whatever it may be. You know, he doesn't want you to get it and he doesn't want me to give it. So that's why we are here now in Jesus' name, so that we can get this word out on today. Amen. We're going to again go to the 28th verse in Psalm number 107. And the Bible reads, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his most holy word. We definitely don't want to be hearers only, but we also want to be doers. Amen. And now this particular passage of scripture is talking about those who are the redeemed of the Lord. So the verse starts out in verse 1 saying, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And in your saying so, we remember as we get down to verses 28 through 31, you know, that when you are in trouble and you can cry out to God, you should say so. You should say, "God delivered me. God brought me out. God brought me out of this storm," because it is God that calms our storms. So now just to give a brief synopsis, again, we're going to talk about seven factors are 7 points as it pertains to what to do during a storm. When I was a little girl, I would be with my grandparents quite often during the summertime. And anytime a storm was coming, my grandmother gave specific instructions. And she didn't just say it. These are also things that she did as well. We had to be quiet and sit still. We turned off all the TVs. Nobody was talking on the phone. There may have even been a temporary loss of power. The storm may have temporarily impeded our plans. And you may hear thunder and lightning going on, which may make you a little bit nervous or distract you momentarily during the time of the storm. But for me, I felt safe in my grandparents' presence. So if they moved and went to another room, I would follow them because I knew that there was safety there with them, or I felt more comfortable being right there with them as I followed them from one room to the other. And I noticed that even outside, the animals knew what to do in the time of a storm. So my subtopic again is lessons from childhood. Lessons from childhood. Now, when you think about it, first and foremost, our first point for today is remember that seasons change. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 that there's a season for everything. So remember that there's not going to always be sun, but also remember there's not going to always be rain. Remember, there's not going to always be this tornadic weather in your life. You're not going to always be constantly going through. There is a time to sow and there is a time to reap, according to Ecclesiastes 3. There is a time for joy and there's a time for sorrow. There's a time to smile and there may be some times that you're sad. You can't have the sun all the time. So the first thing we have to remember during the time of a storm, again, is that the seasons will change. If you're in the middle of your storm right now, know that there is a blessing on the other side of through. Know that there is a blessing and sunlight on the other side of your rainstorm or the things that you are dealing with right now. And for some of us, truthfully, if things never happened with us or things never went wrong, some of us will be outside right now playing in traffic just because we could. Think about it. If things never went wrong, you might just be testing God just because you can. But there is a reason for the rain. There's a reason for the storm. Sometimes it's just to slow us down, like I mentioned in childhood. The second point is during the time of the storm, it might not look like anything is happening, but see, this is exactly what faith is. For you, all you can see is your storm, and all you can see is what's right in front of you. All you can see is the cloud, and all you can see is the darkness. But point two is faith is not what you can see. Now, we talk about this scripture all the time, but what I want to do today is discuss some different translations of the scripture found in Hebrews 11 and 1. We always talk about faith is the substance of things hoped for, and most of us can quote it. Most of us have memorized it. Most of us know exactly what that scripture says. But guess what? Do we really know what it means? Quoting it is one thing, but truly knowing what it means is totally different. Now, of course, if you want to talk about this, you can give me a call at 888-627-6008. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. And we're going to look at some varying translations of Hebrews 11 and 1. Because the fact is, quoting it is just not enough. So now we're going to start with the New International Version. And it reads, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." So see, while you're in the storm, you can't see anything, but that's where your faith kicks in. You have an assurance in the things that you can't see because you know what God told you, because you know what God showed you. Whether it's manifested right now in the natural or not, you hold on to the word that God gave you. Your faith is about what you can't see. It might not look good right now. It might not feel good right now. But faith is not about what you can tangibly put your hand on right now, because you can see it in the spirit realm. It just hasn't manifested for you in the natural realm. Let's look at the New Living Translation. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Once again, faith gives us the assurance about those things that we can't see. What are we standing on? We're standing on faith. How are you doing that? Because faith is a substance. Now, let's look at the English Standard Version. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I am convicted, I am convinced, I am assured, I can rest assured that those things that I can't see just yet are still going to happen because God said so." So the fact that it's raining right now is only a prelude to my blessing. The fact that there's a storm right now is just a preliminary event before I get to the sun on the other side. The fact that there's tornadic weather going on right now is just a preliminary event. It's just the beginning. It's not over. You still have better days ahead. You hear people all the time say, "Oh yeah, those were the good old days." No, I'm living in the good days. My latter is going to be greater than my former. I just haven't gotten to it yet. And this is the same situation. We have to remember during the time of our storms, during the time that there is a trial of our faith, during the time that we are going through, don't go by what you can see. Go by what you know. What you know is the word of God. What you know is what God promised you. And that's what you're standing on. That's what you're believing. That is your assurance. Let's look at the New American Standard Bible. "Now faith." When is it? Right now. No, it's not going to be. I'm going to have faith. No, right now. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The King James Bible, we know that one very well. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Where is your proof? Your faith is your proof. Your faith is your evidence. Your faith lets you know that it's going to happen.
You're believing God. You're not believing in your own abilities. You're not believing in what a person told you. You're believing the word of God. If you found it in the word of God, it is so. If you see it in the word of God, God showed it to you. God told you you can have that. It is so. All you have to do is stand on it. That's what the word of God says. Now faith. Even in the NET Bible, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, being convinced of what we do not see. Praise God. In God's Word translation, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things that we cannot see. Amen. It convinces us of those things that we can't see. How are we convinced? We're convinced according to the Word of God. How do we know that it's true? We're standing on faith. We're believing God. That's my evidence. That's my proof. That is my conviction. That's where I am. So now, see, don't just quote that scripture. Know it and believe it and then walk in it. Stand on it. Speak that. You speak faith. Speak what it is that you're believing God for. Number three, remember what God has already done. Our third point for today is very important because very often people remember what you didn't do. People remember what you didn't say. And women, we are very quick to say, you never bring me flowers. You never tell me you love me. You always do such and such and such. And it's just not the truth. It's not true. Remember when the disciples were out on the boat and they had just finished seeing Jesus. This is found in Matthew 8. They had just finished seeing Jesus perform miracles. Jesus had been going about healing. Jesus had been performing miracles. Jesus had been delivering folks. Here they are now out on the sea. Shortly after witnessing all of these things for themselves, this is not what they heard. This is what they know and witness God doing. But sure enough, when the storm came, they got that selective amnesia just like we do. You've seen God move on your behalf. You've seen God deliver. You've seen God do all sorts of things for you. And you know it was God because you couldn't have done it on your own if you wanted to. God has already blessed you financially, but now you're going through a financial issue and you're a little bit shaky, just like the disciples. God has healed you before, but now you're dealing with a different type of sickness in your body. And here you are, you've gotten shaky because you're looking at the storm. You're going by what you can see. You let all that wind going on fool you. Now, here it is. These disciples had gotten on the ship. The wind and the waves came along. And Jesus was back there asleep. If Jesus is in your boat, saints of God, if you know that God is with you, what are you worried about? You've already seen him move before, just like he did with the disciples. But instead, the disciples are coming to him saying, Lord, save us. We're going to die out here. But you just saw him deliver. You just saw him healing. And so he asked them, why are you fearful? And I'm asking you, why are you fearful? What are you worried about? Hasn't God moved before? Hasn't God done this for you before? Haven't you seen him do even bigger things than this? But instead, the men started to marvel and wonder and ask, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obeys him, because all God had to do was speak. He spoke and rebuked the wind and the sea. And all of a sudden, guess what? There was a calm. There was peace. Think about it. Isn't that what we do? God has already brought us out before. He's the same God. He hasn't changed. Remember the same God that you were just testifying about and how he blessed you and your children. Now something else is going on and you've gotten shaky because you forgot. Stop and look back. Everything is still working together for your good. God is still able. He is still a healer. He is still a deliverer. And again, I know that it's human nature. We do forget. But we have to stop and pull it together. Wait a minute. I've seen God move before. Wait a minute. God has blessed me before. Wait a minute. God has helped me with my children before. Let me think for a moment. God has helped me with these crazy folks on my job before. I've seen God move. I've seen God deliver. And even if it's a different kind of storm, know that He is still the same God. Know that He is still able. All you have to do is stand on your faith. Believe God. There are some lessons in this storm. There are some things that you're going to get. It's going to make you better. Don't let it make you bitter. That's not what we're aiming for. Now go ahead and go with me to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Now here we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 4 and 8. Because for some of us, the fourth point for us, or the fourth frequently asked question for some of us, is, Lord, why now? Why me? We got a whole bunch of whys. Why? Why am I going through this? Why am I having to deal with this? Lord, I've been faithful. I've done the things that I'm supposed to do. Why me? Well, why not you? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 10. You need to know for your whys, because you can handle it now. Maybe 10 years ago, you weren't ready to handle a situation like this. Maybe 10 years ago, you weren't strong enough. But see, when God gets ready to elevate you and take you to a whole nother level, you can't tell Him how it is that He needs to build you and make you and mold you. He's the potter. We're just the clay. He's in charge of this situation, not us. Looking at the 8th verse, the Bible reads, and I'm reading from King James this time, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed." See, it's not even as bad as you think it is. The 10th verse says, "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." See, we want to identify with Christ when it comes to blessings, but we don't want to identify with Christ when it comes to dealing with things and going through. But know and rest assured, although you may feel like you have trouble on every side during this time of your storm, don't be distressed. You may be perplexed. You may be a little bit confused and don't understand why or how, but you don't have to be in despair. You may have been persecuted. They might have lied on you and talked about you like a dog, like the older people say. But you are not forsaken. God has not left you. You might have been cast down. You might be down right now. But know that you are not destroyed. It is not over. This storm that you are dealing with is not the end. God has so much more for you. All you have to do is keep standing, keep believing, keep trusting God. I realize it feels rough right now. I realize that it may not look good. I realize that you can't see your way out. But see, that's because you're looking ahead and you're not looking up. During the time of a storm, when you're driving in the car, when you look up ahead of you, most of the time, all you can see right in front of you is just what's right in front of you. That's the storm. You may look out your windows on both sides and like, Lord, this thing will never end. But remember, as you keep driving and as you keep going, you're going to run out of it, or it's going to stop, because it will not rain all the time. It doesn't feel good right now. It doesn't look good right now. You could be a little bit nervous, but not when you stop and think about the goodness of God. Not when you stop and think about what it is that He's already done. You may be a little bit confused, but you don't have to be, because God has given us a sound mind, not a spirit of fear, but He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. So you don't have to be worried and wondering and thinking and ranting and raving and complaining. There's no reason for that. Because you already know what God has done for you in the past. You already know how God has delivered you in the past. You already know how God has moved on your behalf in the past. So what are you worried about? Why are you so fearful? You could not be one of little faith, because you've already seen God move. You may as well go ahead and throw your hands up and just start praising God in advance, because you already know what He's done for you. Call me at 888-627-6008. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. Now, number 5. For some of us, we don't mind going through, but we don't want everybody else to know what we're going through. Yeah, we don't want everybody else to know what we're dealing with. I was one of those people. I thought to myself, Lord, why does it just have to be so public? Why does everybody have to know? I felt like the whole world knew my situation. I felt like, oh my God, they're going to be talking about me. I felt like everybody knows. Everybody's looking at me. Why does it have to be so public? I felt like, why does it have to be embarrassing? Nobody likes to be embarrassed. Lord, why does it have to be so hurtful? Why does my storm have to be so hard? It seems like other folks go through little small stuff and they fall apart. I'm looking at them thinking, man, if they only knew the stuff I was dealing with. Feel like even the church folks are looking at you. But guess what? Some people might be looking at you. Some are looking at you because they've already been there and they know what you're dealing with. And they're praying for you, but they can't help you through it. Some people are looking at you because they're just watching your progress. They're looking at how God has brought you, how God has taught you, how God has kept you. You might not see it, but they may be looking at you because they're monitoring your progress. Some folks may be looking at you because they can see the anointing on you. And they want to know how you're handling it. Because they may have a similar storm. They may not tell you, but they're watching how you go through this. Somebody's life decision could be hinged on how you are handling your storm right now. Your children may be watching you. Because remember now, children learn a whole lot by what you do rather than what you tell them to do. Your children may be watching you so that they know how to handle situations. The people on your job may be watching you, and they may never tell you, but they know that you're an overcomer. So they're watching you to see how you get through this. They're watching you to see if you're going to walk around depressed and holding your head down. They're watching you to see if you're going to fall apart. They're watching you to see if you're just going to give up and throw in the towel. Because I know that sometimes you want to throw in the towel. I know that sometimes you feel like, I just want to give up. Oh, but thanks be unto God for his word. Why does everybody have to know? Because see, we're sent here to be a blessing to other people. Some of your unsaved family members might be looking at you right now saying, ooh, my sister sure is strong. I don't know how she does it. Ooh, my mother sure is strong. That was a strong woman. I don't know how she went through all those things that she went through. Wow, my daddy is a strong man. A lot of things you might not even know that your parents are dealing with. But you're watching them. You may never tell them you're watching them. But you're paying attention to how they handle situations. And this is why we have to be strong. Because somebody else is watching us. And again, life decisions for other people could be hinged on how they see us going through. How they see us react when somebody cuts us off in traffic. How they see us react when we're in the store and the cashier starts throwing your change back at you and you want to jump across the counter, but you can't. You can't. Because all of a sudden, that taints your witness. People are watching. People are watching you. This is why your pain may have been so public or may have been so hard. Or may have seemed embarrassing or hurtful to you. Look at St. John, the 9th chapter. I'm going to give you a minute to get there. Again, that's St. John, the 9th chapter. And we're going to begin at the first verse. This is a story about a man who was born blind. And I want you to know, this may be a little bit lengthy, but we're going somewhere. Just hang in there with me. A lot of times you learn a lot better if you can see it for yourself and somebody's not just telling you. Because it's easy to quote what Prophetess Campbell said, but I don't want you to just quote what I said. I want you to see it for yourself in the Word of God. St. John, the 9th chapter, beginning at the first verse. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? And you know, somebody's looking at your storm right now saying, wonder what they did. Just like they did with Job. Job, what you do? Third verse. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. What? Let's keep reading. The fourth verse. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, it means sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came back seeing. The eighth verse reads, The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? This is the man who was sitting out here begging. This is the blind man. That's what they're going to say about you, too. When you come out of your storm, they're going to say, Isn't that the girl who was dealing with this? Isn't that the girl who got pregnant as a teenager? Isn't that the man who lost his job? Isn't that the woman who was at church sick talking about she just needed prayer for her healing? Isn't that? Now, stick your name in there. The same way. And the ninth verse reads, Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. They're saying, Well, it looked like him, but that can't be him. So he spoke up for himself. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, Well, how were your eyes open, man? What happened to you? We know you were blind. Girl, we know you were broke. Girl, we know you didn't have a working car. Man, we know you lost your job. Man, we know you lost your house. Girl, we know you got evicted. Come on now. The 11th verse says, He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. The 12th verse says, Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. Now let's just stop right there. Look at this situation and then think about your situation. You may have an issue going on right now. But the whole purpose in everything that you are dealing with is so that God will get the glory out of your life. See, you're in a situation right now where other people can't or won't help you. You're in a situation right now where you know only God can move on your behalf. You're in a situation right now, just like that man, where it may have been going on for a long time and everybody recognizes it and everybody knows and everybody sees. Everybody heard about you. Some people saw you for themselves and they know that you got evicted. Some people saw you for themselves and they know that you were sick. And when God moves on your behalf, you have to give God the glory in all of this. That's the whole purpose. Because what happened at the end, just like this man who was born blind, is they come back and ask you, Now, how did you come out of that? What did you do when you lost your job? What did you do when you didn't have any money? What did you do when your living situation wasn't the best? What did you do when you didn't have a car? What did you do when you got divorced? What did you do when you got pregnant as a teenager? How did you make it out? And you can tell them just like this man did. Oh, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Oh, let me tell you about the God I serve. And that's the reason that we give our testimonies, because not only do we continue to overcome, we continue to remember our blessings, but it helps other people to overcome. It helps other people to come out. Now, I know some of you have some stories. I know some of you have some testimonies, because I know right now you're stopping to think back to yourself. Now, she is absolutely right. That is why God brought me out. some of you mothers who were teenage mothers, don't play crazy when your daughters get pregnant at 20 years old. Help them. Tell them what you did. Tell them how God blessed you. Tell them how you came out. Because the reality is they're not doing anything that you didn't do. So why are you condemning them? They just got caught. Think about it. See, instead of us condemning people as the body of Christ, we need to be trying to help them. You should be having some conversations before they up and get pregnant. But in the event that that didn't happen, tell them how to overcome. Tell them how to come out. Some of you fathers who are looking at your sons saying, oh, I don't know why that boy runs the street the way that he does. You did it too. Tell them that there's nothing out there. Tell them that you can show them. Son, you know what? I did this too. Be transparent with your children. Don't try to act like you've never done anything. Don't try to act like you haven't been through anything. You're just holier than thou. You heaven bound and no earthly good if you can't tell your own children how they can overcome. If you can't tell your brother or your sister next to you who's going through something how they can overcome. See, a lot of us get blessed and we don't want to tell anybody. Child, I was bankrupt too. Honey, I filed bankruptcy too. Honey, I was on food stamps too. We don't want to tell anybody that stuff. Because we're still stuck on the embarrassment. But what we have to do is move forward to the God that delivered us. Because he gets the glory in all of this. It's not about your glory. It's not about how you feel about it. It's not about what you think about it. Some of you are still upset about some of the things that you went through. You still hurt over some of the things that you went through. And I understand it. I understand that some of us didn't want to go through and still mad about having gone through. Just how did I end up in that situation? How did I end up on food stamps? How did I end up with no job? Well, maybe because you kept coming in late every day and the folks got tired. Or maybe because you weren't doing your job. You busy sitting over in the corner somewhere talking about I'm praying. No, you're there to work. You better pray silently at your desk, but don't let your hands stop. Come on now. You still had a job to do. But even in that, even in our foolishness, even in some of the mistakes that we made, God still blessed us. So you have to be able to take that information and be a blessing to somebody else. Give God the glory in your coming out. Give God the glory in how he elevated you and how he brought you out. It wasn't because somebody else decided to give you a chance. It was because God moved on the heart of the person who was in charge at their company to hire you. Because sometimes you can be qualified and still not get the job. Sometimes you can have the education and still not get the job. Why is that? Because God's got something better for you. But while you are going through that situation, while you're going through that storm, give God the glory. It's all about him. It's all about him. When people are looking back at you saying, ooh, I remember when. I remember when you didn't have. I remember when you was in the clubs. Tell them. Give God the glory. You know what? Praise God. He brought me out. Let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Let me tell you how God will move on your behalf. Let me tell you how God will change your heart. Let me tell you how God will take those desires from you. Those are the things you need to be saying. The things that you went through were for you to be able to come out and give all praise, all honor, and all glory to God. Because he did it. It wasn't you. You did everything you knew how to do. Think about it. And you still ended up on food stamps. You still ended up with that free 20-minute phone that they give to people with low income. And I'm not knocking that. You did what you could do at that time. But it took God to bring you out. See, I don't care what your qualifications are. If God doesn't say it's your season, you won't get the job. So you have to stop and remember and stop and think. Okay, I got to give God glory in this. And some of you know that you went to your job and didn't have any qualifications, but God gave you favor. Some of you know that you went to your job and everybody else on the job has 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 degrees. But God put you there for a reason. Think about it. All praise, honor, and glory has got to go to God. That's the purpose of your testifying. So don't hold back that information. And some of us don't want to go through, as I stated before, some of us don't want to deal with storms. Some of us keep an umbrella in the car, but be real upset when it starts raining. I know. Been there. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, that God's grace is sufficient for you. When you think you don't have enough strength, remember that His strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I know for some of us, those are weak areas. Going through is just not fun. It affects everything about you, your countenance, your walk, your talk. But you have to remember, in all these things, you are more than a conqueror. In all these things, you are still an overcomer. In all of these things, you are still God's chosen, God's elect, and God's favored. You have to remember to speak it. You have to remember to walk in it. You have to remember to speak faith. Speak the word of God. Don't say, ooh, I'm just not going to make it. Say, you know what? Where I don't have any strength, God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I am strong. Therefore, I can make it. Therefore, I can do it. I can handle it. I definitely understand the hurt and the embarrassment. I've been there. When I went through, even with my divorce, I didn't want to tell anybody my story because I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell anybody, here we are two preachers and we can't stay married. Here we are two preachers and we can't get pastors. We were pastors. How is it that you all are getting a divorce and you told everybody else how to stay married? Is that not embarrassing? Lord, why does everybody in the church have to know? Why do our families have to know? And here we are preaching and teaching and telling other people what to do. It was embarrassing. It was hurtful. I didn't want to talk about it. But let me tell you how much strength I gained the more I talk about it and the more that I'm a blessing to somebody else, especially young people who are getting married today. Do you think I don't tell them? See, because I looked at it and how God continues to help me to overcome that thing that I was dealing with. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Why do I need to tell it so I can help somebody else? Because somebody else is dealing with some of the same storms that I was going through. But see, the enemy will tell you to just be quiet and not say anything because of the embarrassment. Oh, but God gets the glory because I know that it was God that brought me out. And so at this point, everything that I do, I'm stronger. I'm much wiser. I'm better than I was before. I can look back now and say, oh, but God, because I know that it was God who delivered me. So when that situation comes up for me, aren't you the one that was divorced? Oh, but God, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Aren't you the one that had 4 kids and no husband? And even the church folks were looking when you walk in because they just figure I'm some woman just walking in with some kids. And okay, no, that's not the case. I wasn't just some random crazy woman. I wasn't talking because I was hurting. But again, we have to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I used to be that person that go to weddings and be back in the back sobbing. I wasn't crying tears of joy because I was happy for them. I was crying because I was in one of those woe is me phases. And I had that phase for 5 years. But see, 5 is the number of grace. And it took the grace of God to remind me of who I was and what I was supposed to be doing. It was the grace of God that healed me and brought me out. Yeah, you can find another man. You can date again, all those things. But I needed God to truly heal me. And that's what happens sometimes when we're going through storms. We think we're the only one. We're stuck. We can't move. We don't know what to do or how to do. And I'll tell you, oh, but God, I need to tell you about a man named Jesus. Because, see, I've met some men, but ain't no other man like Jesus. Nobody can touch me, talk to me, hold me, heal me, deliver me like Jesus. With everything else that you've gone through, just stop and think about it for a moment. The songwriter says, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." Now, I know some of you are a witness to that, and I know some of you are just listening. But praise God. If you want to call in to testify, to tell your story, that number is 888-627-6008. And some of you might be thinking now, like, why is she laughing? Because I know where I was, and I know where God brought me from, and I know how God delivered me. There are some people who are close to me that are a witness to some of the things that I went through. And then there are some people that are very close to me who have no clue all the things that I went through. Oh, but let me tell you about a man named Jesus. See, I was that woman that didn't even know much about my car. Oh, but God. I was a woman who used to depend on somebody else to work and pay the bills. Oh, but God. I was a woman who didn't even go to the gas station to put gas in my car. Oh, but God. Everywhere where I thought I fell short, God stepped right in and filled every void. Let me tell you about a man named Jesus. See, there is a way to go through the storm. I used to be that woman who was shy and afraid to even go anywhere by myself. I had a woman that asked me recently, like, you go everywhere by yourself? I was like, well, you know, if I want to go somewhere by myself, I have the option of hanging out with some friends or, you know, a date here and there. But yes, I can go to the movies by myself. And she said, I just haven't gotten there yet. You can go to the movies by yourself. Girl, the movie is playing, ain't it? Get your own popcorn. Sit on down. Be happy. Watch this movie and go home. See, there are some things that we begin to depend on other people for that God never told us to do. You don't have to depend on another person for your happiness. Let me tell you about a man named Jesus. You can go to the movies by yourself. You can go to a restaurant by yourself. Just went to one last night. Enjoyed it. Had Mexican. Y'all better come on here. Let me tell you about a man named Jesus. There is a way to go through the storm. Marvin Sapp sings a song, "So Glad I Made It." I made it through. And then he goes on to say, "I'm better, I'm stronger, I'm wiser." He said, "I could have lost my mind. I could have thrown in the towel." And I know that there are some listeners right now that are feeling like, "Lord, some days I do want to throw in the towel." But I'm telling you, you can make it. See, I learned how to trust God. You have to learn how to increase your faith. I know that God picked me up from a pit of depression. People close to me probably didn't even know that I was depressed. Oh, I was depressed. I thought about all kinds of things. But it took the word of God and the grace of God. Oh, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. I get excited because I know what he's done for me. I'm not talking about somebody else's story. I'm not talking about somebody else's testimony. I'm telling you, when I got divorced, I had nothing. I had nothing. I was a person that had to give up my house. Oh, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. I went from giving up my house to now money in the bank, feeling like I had nobody, to me being tired of answering the phone because it's folks coming from left and right. God will send you who you need. God will place people in your life. But I give praise, honor, and glory to God for planting those people there. Let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Yes, he picked me up from depression. He wouldn't let me give up. When I looked in the faces of my children, did I want them to think, oh, mommy's a quitter? No, mommy is not a quitter. If they don't know anything else about me, they know that their mother's not a quitter. It's some saints of God that know and realize, oh, girl, I know you went through, but praise God, that's right, because I'm not a quitter. I'm not giving up because folks don't act right. I'm not giving up because people don't do what they're supposed to do. I'm not giving up because a man made me feel a certain way. He's human. And he doesn't have the power to heal me or deliver me. Oh, but let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Many of us experience loss. Many of us lose things, lose houses and cars and jobs, folks. But if you stop and look back at some of the things that you lost before, you can make some more money. You can buy some more stuff. You can get some new friends. God will bless you with a brand new mate that's even better than the one that you had before. You just thought you had it good. Praise God. Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard the things that God has for his people. You don't even know God's plan for you. Jeremiah 29 and 11. What he has better for you in your expected end is far better than you could even imagine. Just trust God while you're going through your storm. Let me tell you about a man named Jesus. If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, let me introduce him to you. Because he is your way out, your way in, your way over, and your way through. I don't care what you thought you knew. I don't care how you feel about this storm. Don't be embarrassed. Don't wallow in your hurt. Don't wallow in your pain. God's got something better for you. You can make it. You can do this. You can handle it because you've got God on your side. See, you can lose things, but there is not another you. And God has a plan just for you. God has a plan designed just for you. God's got your back, girl. Calm down. My brother, God's got you. I don't care what you're dealing with and what happened on your job. God's got you. You can make it. The devil is a liar. Don't let him tell you you won't make it. Don't let him tell you you won't survive without this other person. The devil is a liar. He will lie to you day in and out if you listen. You better hear me. You can do this. God's got you. It is important for you to keep on. It is important for you not to throw in the towel. It's important for people to know, in my case, that the things that I'm preaching are things that I really believe. I didn't want people to think, oh, well, she was preaching all that stuff. But yeah, when she went through, oh, no, the devil is a lie. Point number six is you need to prophesy and speak to your dead situation. Like Ezekiel in the 37th chapter. Ezekiel 37. You have to look at your dead situation and be able to speak life. Speak to this situation and say, oh no, I will recover. Speak to your day. Speak to your finances. Speak to your children. Whatever the dead situation is in your life, whatever the storm is that you're going through, you better say out loud, point your finger, put your hand on your hip. Oh, you will not have me. I will make it out of this. You better look at your children and tell them you are successful. The devil is a lie. The enemy is not going to have you. You are an overcomer. You are blessed. You are an obedient child. Stop telling your kids that they're bad. You are obedient in Jesus' name. Speak to your dead situation. I don't care what that child is at school doing. If he's at school jumping off the desk hollering Geronimo, and I can say that because I had one that did it, you better tell him and let him know the devil is a liar. You are an obedient child. You will sit down in class. You will learn. Speak to your dead situation. Speak to your storm. I'm not giving up. Yeah, it might seem like I'm down now, but I'm not out. Yeah, I might be perplexed. I might be a little bit confused about what's going on, but I am not in despair. This is not the end of me. I don't care if you got to put your hand on your hip and shake your neck. You know, that's when we real serious. Praise God. I will recover. I am healed in Jesus' name. Tell your body to line up with what the word of God says. Because see, what we learned from Ezekiel 37 chapter, that no matter how dead the situation seems to our eyes, we know that God is a restorer. Somebody listening right now, you might need to speak to your situation. You might need to speak to yourself. You might need to go to the mirror and say, I am loved. I am chosen. I am healed. I don't care if you have to do it every day. For those of you who are going through sickness, remind yourself, I shall not die, but I'm going to live and declare the works of the Lord. I am successful. I am prosperous in Jesus' name. I am in good health in Jesus' name. I have the peace of God and I can sleep at night according to the word of God. I am not depressed. I'm encouraged in the Lord. My family is united. Whatever your dead situation may be, you speak to your situation. Your children are blessed. You say it. You get it in your head. And point number 7, learn to celebrate the rain. Because the rain does come to cleanse. Rain does cause growth. Rain does bring a refreshing. According to James, the 1st chapter, verses 2-5, the trial of your faith produces growth, patience. Remember, when your storm is over, the lights will come back on. The sun does come up again. Everything is cleansed. Everything is refreshed. The flowers begin to stand a little bit taller. The grass seems just a little bit thicker. The smell in the atmosphere has changed because you have come through your storm. Look back and realize that you made it. And that's the thing that most of us forget to do. Celebrate the rain. Celebrate the storm. Because while you may not feel like dealing with it right now, it's going to produce something wonderful in you. And then next time, you'll begin to be able to identify at the onset of the storm what's happening. You'll be able to say, oh, well, see, I went through that already. You'll be able to say, I'm not going through this for nothing. I'm going to get something out of this. The songwriter sings a song. My soul has been anchored in the Lord. The storms may keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the nights from day. Still, there is a hope that lies within that is reassuring. As I keep my eyes upon the distant shore, I know that God will lead me safely to the blessed place that He has prepared for me. Why do these people sing these songs? Because it's true, because we all go through storms. And when you know that God has brought you out, you don't have any problem with testifying to tell everybody else about the goodness of God. Again, there are some lessons that I got from childhood in dealing with storms. The first one is to be still. Just know that He's God. The second, no TV, no phone. Why? Because I'm focusing on God. The third, just be quiet. No sense in complaining. Deal with it. Because we all go through. The fourth thing I learned from childhood is you disregard what you call yourself having planned, because God has a greater plan for you. So don't worry about what your plan was and how the rain may be throwing you off track. God has a better plan for you. His timing is perfect. The fifth thing I learned is don't be distracted by the noise. See, there are noise of other people, noises of the things that the enemy would try to bring to your mind to try to throw you off. Don't be distracted by that noise. Focus on God. The noise of the thunder and the lightning during the time of the storm. No, you focus on God. Number 6, I found safety as a child in following my grandparents. And as an adult, I follow Jesus. There is safety in knowing that Jesus is on the boat with me. Number 7, and finally, you remember the reason and the purpose for the storm. Because see, in the natural, it comes to bring new growth, refreshing. It brings life. And in the spirit realm, it does just the same. It brings you life. It refreshes you. It helps you to grow up. And your testimony becomes a witness to other people who are trying to make it. Don't withhold your testimony. Remember, when you're going through the storm, there's a blessing in it for you, but there's also a blessing in it for somebody else. Thank you so much for joining me. We've come to the end of our show. I thank and praise God for each of you, and I pray that God continues to bless you and increase you more and more. If you're looking for a good church home and you're in the Jackson, Mississippi area, stop by the Wordful Gospel Church. Our pastor is Dr. J.B. Williams. Our assistant pastor is Elder Fred Stewart. If you'd like to donate to Campbell Ministries, simply click on the donate button, and or you can write in to P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi 39236. If you'd like to just chat, talk to me, you can also write to that address, or you can go on to the blog when you go on to CampbellMinistries.com or CampbellMinistries.org. Thank you so much for joining. May the peace of God be with you. God bless you.